Amen.
Don't stop.
Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad it's church time.
Amen.
Amen. I love church, don't you?
Amen.
When I think about what God has done with His amazing grace in the hearts of old lost sinners, how God takes an old reprobate, wash him in His divine blood, and writes His name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and makes something out of him.
Amen.
We're nobody going somewhere, though. Amen. Aren't you glad we have? Aren't you glad we have a destination that we're going to?
Praise
and I'm glad it's up and not down.
Amen.
We were lost and on our way to hell, but the Lord interrupted our life and done something in us that made us different. Amen. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord on this spring forward day. Amen. I didn't miss that hour of sleep. I got it earlier. I went to bed right after church last night and woke up about 4 o'clock and looked like the light was lightening up with lightning and rain and thunder and all that stuff at the motel. And I got up and looked out the window, and sure enough, it was coming down. But I'm glad we're here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 45. Psalms 45, if you would. Stand with me, please, in reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 1, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips." Amazing grace, isn't that wonderful? "God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and the right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." Father, we bow today to thank you for the word of God which thou hast given to us. Thank you to be read publicly, privately. Thank you, Lord, for the words of God has spoken to our hearts in these past days. Pray that you'd anoint us with your power today, your unction of God. May the word find lodging in some hearts today. God, we ask you for your divine power. Speak to us, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look back in verse 8 where it says, "All thy garments smell of myrrh, aloe, and cassia out of the ivory palaces." I want to preach a few minutes from the portals of glory.
Amen.
I'm glad he said out of the ivory palaces come certain things. Now, if you notice verse 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2 is talking about the grace that filled his life at his first coming. I call this the majestic grace of God at his first coming. I'm glad he literally did come the first time.
Amen.
I'm glad he was virgin born.
Amen.
Bible said, "And Joseph knew her not." I'm glad there's no fictitious story about the Lord's coming at his first coming. I call this the majestic grace of God at his first coming. If you look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, notice this verse. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," underline those words, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad, thank God, that he was virgin born, aren't you? Look in verse 25. Bible said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When we talk about the grace that filled his life at his first coming, I'm glad to know that he was virgin born. There's no question mark in my mind about his birth.
Right.
Then notice in verse 3 through 7, the glory that is revealed at his second coming. I call this the majestic glory of God at his second advent. Now, the second coming is divided into two stages. The first stage is called the rapture of the church. Now, I'm aware that the word rapture is not in the Bible, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's talking about the catching away. That is what we call the rapture of the church. Now, nothing has to be done before the rapture of the church take place. No prophecy has to be fulfilled. No miracle has to be done. In fact, he could step out now on nothing and say to the church, to you and me who are saved by the grace of God, come up hither and we'd leave out of here.
Amen.
When I think about the rapture of the church, I'm glad, thank God, it can happen at any moment.
Amen.
Amen. That ought to be enough to make a Baptist get excited.
Amen.
To think that there's a possibility that he would stop this service right now and call the church home and we'd leave out of here. Only the redeemed would go. Those who have been saved by the grace of God, and I'll say more about that later. But I'm talking about the catching away, the rapture of the church. But then there's the second advent, the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, several things must take place before that happens. The rapture of the church must take place. The tribulation period must take place. At the close of all that, he's going to come back and place his feet upon Mount Olivet again. I'm glad to know, praise God, that we'll come back with him. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? But I want you to pay a particular attention to verse 8 when he talks about all thy garments smell of aloe. I thought about the garments that he wore when he came to redeem us. The majestic garbs of God in redemption. I'm glad he robed us in his righteousness, aren't you? When we by faith come to him. Notice three things this morning and then we'll go somewhere and eat. Amen. Isn't that what Baptists do is worship and then eat? Amen. I tell you, the way they've been feeding me this week, I feel like the fatted calf. Now, you don't have to say you look like it, too. But I want you to notice in verse 8, if you would, he talks about all thy garments smell of myrrh. Underline those words, garments smell of myrrh. Myrrh speaks of his sweetness. Now, myrrh is a fragrance that is for burial. Christ is getting ready to go to Calvary. He's just prior to going and giving up the ghost and go to heaven and then come back again at his second advent. But notice something. All thy garments smell of myrrh. Myrrh speaks of his sweetness. I'm glad he's a sweet Savior, aren't you? I'm glad he's a pure Savior. I thought about in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and when he talks about garments speaks of myrrh, myrrh speaks of his sweetness. That sweetness is a redeeming name. What did he say in Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that sweet? Isn't it wonderful to know that you and I could call upon him if we're lost and undone and on our way to hell? We can call upon him and he'll redeem us by his amazing grace. I thought about whosoever. Everybody's a candidate. Nobody's excluded. Whosoever will. Aren't you glad? Thank God it's an open invitation that anybody, I mean whosoever will, could come to that redeeming name and he becomes sweet to them. Can you remember when he became sweet in your heart and your life? Can you remember when he took everything out of you and put everything new inside you? Can you remember? I'm talking about the sweetness of his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something about that name. Amen. That redeeming name, it brings sonship.
Right.
It brings, hey, when I'm talking about salvation, it brings separation. I was preaching down in Jasper, Florida. I may have told this. But I was preaching down in Jasper, Florida. And God sent an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival that week in Jasper, Florida. Brother Milson, he was pastor at that time. And God done some work in that week, that church that week, that God has never gotten over and nobody else has ever gotten over. I'm glad God saved sinners, aren't you?
Amen.
Can you remember when that name became a redeeming name to you? Can you pinpoint where you was at? Can you pinpoint what God done in your heart? I'm telling you, when God does that redeeming work, you never get over it.
That's right, amen.
I rehash it all the time in my life. Why? It's very important to me. The biggest thing ever happened to me was when he saved me. That redeeming name became a redeemer to me. Notice something with me, if you would. I'm talking about that sweetness of his name. His name's a redeeming name. But notice something else. It's a required name. Turn to that famous chapter in that book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is a required name. If you ever go to heaven, you got to come by that required name. You can't get to heaven without becoming by that required name. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Notice he said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, I never get tired of talking about being saved, do you? If you get tired of hearing about salvation, something's wrong with your salvation.
Right.
It ought to run you back. It ought to run you back to where you got in. It ought to run you back to when God took hell out of you and put heaven in you, and you're rejoicing in the fact that you came by that required name. Now, there's a lot of people tell you there are a lot of ways to get to heaven, but there's only one way. That's by that required name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, not only is it a required name, it's a royal name. Look in Revelation with me, chapter 19. Look over in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, where it said, "And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I thought about that royal name. It was announced by the angels. The angels of God were sent to earth to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was announced by that. It was adored by the shepherds. I'm glad, thank God, I adore him. But also that name activates the devil. There's something about that name. I probably told this, but years ago in my first church, had the Beasley family. They came and visited. There was a large family, poor family, but a good family, but lost. Mr. Beasley came and got saved by the grace of God. Three of his children came and got saved by the wonderful majestic grace of God. But Miss Beasley wouldn't get saved. She wouldn't come to church no more after she got under conviction. You're either going to run to God or run from God when you get under conviction. She ran from God. She lived on that little old Upper River Road. It was a winding road, crooked as a snake. And they lived down on a curve. And God put Miss Beasley on my heart heavy. Every time I'd go by there, she was sitting out on the porch. I'd pull in her driveway and get out and talk to her about the Lord. She could discuss anything with you till you got talking about the Lord. When you get talking about the Lord, she'd clam up. She'd look down, wouldn't say nothing. And I got the whole church praying for her. One morning I was riding down that crooked Upper River Road going towards Macon, and the school bus was in front of me, and I had to stop for the school bus. And Miss Beasley came out and was putting all her children on the bus. So instead of going past that bus, I just pulled in her driveway since she was out in the yard with the children. And I got talking to her about the Lord in my car. I was sitting in my car with the window rolled down talking to her. And she looked down to start playing with the dirt with a toe, you know, with a foot, just doing all kind of things. And I said to her, I said, Linda, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? She shook her head, yeah. But God, hey, when God began to deal with her, the devil got activated. And he clammed up her mouth and she couldn't talk. In other words, like she had lockjaw, couldn't say a word. And when I got to dealing with her about the Lord, God impressed me, and I pushed the car door open and got down on my knees on that dirt and began to pray for her and ask her to get saved. And she said, shake her head and say, I can't say nothing. And God began to deal with her hard. And I said, oh, Lord, would you bind up the devil? Would you put him asunder? Would you loose her tongue? And I said to her, I'm talking about that precious name, the royal name, the required name, the redeeming name. I got talking to her about Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus. And I said, Linda, just say Jesus. I said, if you'll just say Jesus, come into my heart and save you. God had her right at the perfect place, right at the perfect time. He always does that.
Amen.
I mean, when he gets ready to save somebody, it's always the perfect moment. And when she said, the devil had her bound up so tight she couldn't talk. He was activated in her life. And finally she said, Jesus. And when she did, she said, come into my heart and save me. Lord, I'm telling you, the whole family rejoiced. Our church rejoiced. And they became one of the best families in our church, redeemed by the grace of God because of that royal name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad God saves old sinners, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad there's no infidels and no agnostics in the foxholes, aren't you? I'm glad there's nothing but believers in the foxholes in the wartime. Now, I've talked about it activated the devil. But look in Psalm 119 and verse 9. It's a revered name. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why? Because it's a powerful name. There's nothing like that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad it's a powerful name? Aren't you glad when you and I look up and call out on his name? It's the most powerful name on planet Earth, in earth and heaven. It's the most powerful name. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. It's a precious name. I'm glad it's a protected name. Amen. You may spell it the same way, but you don't say Jesus. Some say Jesus. Amen. But I'm glad that Jesus' name is a protected name. And also it's a praiseworthy name. When's the last time you got loose? Amen. When's the last time you got loose? Sometime it might be riding down the road in your automobile by yourself in him. And you get loose. Isn't it amazing how far you can go sometime in such a short time when you get loose in him? Amen. Somebody said to me, Brother Paulus, how can you drive 14 hours a day in him? Just get lost in him. When you get lost in him, time becomes his. Oh, Johnny Jackson, no evangelist, he's in heaven now. Brother John was a missionary, and he had a great radio program. 10,000 people listened to him in South America every day. John was a great evangelist, great missionary, great pastor. He left the mission field and came back to Warner Robins, Georgia, Centerville, Georgia. He was pastoring a little old church there in Centerville, Georgia. And God used him all over this country preaching the word of God. And old Brother John, he said to me one day, Brother Pollard, I wish you'd really pray for me. I want the power of God. I want to praise his holy name. So we was having a camp meeting. They called on Brother John to preach, and Brother John got up and preached. When he got through preaching that day, he walked out and he said to me, he said, "Brother Paul, I apologize. I fell on my face. I know the feeling. If you've done any preaching, you know what I'm talking about." He said, "I fell on my face." I said, "No, Brother John, you didn't fall on your face." So later on, I saw him again, and I'm telling you, he preached the house down. God moved on him like I'd never seen him move on him. I said to him, "Brother John, what happened to you?" I'm talking about praising the Lord, praiseworthy name. I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Well, I've been up in North Carolina preaching a revival." Said, "I was coming back down the interstate, I-85. Said, "I got down and turned off in Commerce, Georgia. And I was going through where Source of Light Mission is, Madisonville, Georgia. And said, I was coming through there. And said, God got in the car with me." Said, and God said, "Pull over." And I pulled over alongside the road, shoulder of the road. And said, I sat there, cut my engine off. I sat there and talked to him a little bit. He told me, said, "John, get out of your car and go out there in that pasture and there and get under that tree and talk to me a little bit." John said, "I got out of my car, climbed over that barbed wire fence. Said, I got halfway out there and old devil got activated." He said, "You're on private property, climbed over that barbed wire fence. What if one of them bulls come over here and start attacking you?" John said, "I almost turned around, went back, but said, God told me to go out there and get under that big old oak tree." Said, I went out there and got under that oak tree. Said, an hour and a half later, I came to myself. Don't let that upset you. He said, "I came to myself." I know what he meant. And when he got through that, he says, "And God touched me that day under that oak tree. And I don't think I'll ever be the same again." I thought, "Brother John, could you give me the directions of that oak tree? I'm telling you, I want to go and I want to get what you got." I'm talking about that praiseworthy name. He's to be praised everywhere we go. Amen. Sometimes you and I, we ought to forget where we at and praise his name anyhow. Right. Amen. Years ago, I think I told this too, but years ago, when I took my shirts to the cleaners to get them cleaned, I said to that lady behind the counter, I said, "I don't know why my shirt collars are so dirty. I take a shower every day." I said, "I just don't understand why they got that dirt." She said, "Oh, it just comes out of some more than others." You embarrassed me. So I told my wife that night on the telephone, I told her what had happened. She said, "Well, go down to the Walmart and buy your stain stick." I said, "Honey, I don't want to put a stain on it. They're already dirty." She said, "No, they call stain sticks for taking the dirt out." So I go into Walmart and I'm looking around and I see one that says Shout. I had Texai in my hand. I smelled of it. I smelled of everything. And I smelled it. It smelled pretty good. But when I saw that Shout, I put that back and got that Shout stick. I opened the top of it and a little old coupon button fell out. It says, "The proof of purchase, Shout." Now, wait a minute. I've looked in Walmart from Buffalo, New York to Tampa, Florida, and I've never found another Shout stick with a button in it. Shout, the proof of purchase, Shout. So I said, "Praise God, I put that button back in there and screwed on. I'm going to buy this. Smelled pretty good, too." I'm walking in Walmart. I'm talking about that praiseworthy name. I'm walking in Walmart, and the Lord says, "Have you been bought with a price?" I said, "Yes, sir, sure have." He said, "What's the proof of purchase?" I said, "Here, right here." He said, "Right here, what's the proof of purchase?" I said, "Shout." He said, "Well, shout." So I shouted half-heartedly. And when I half-heartedly shouted, he said, "That's not much of a proof of purchase." Said, "You've been bought with a price?" I said, "Yes, I sure have." He said, "Shout and prove that you've been purchased." So I just reared back and said, "Hallelujah, glory." And when I did, a couple stepped out around the counter and looked at me. And I just waved at them and walked on. I got a little bit further down. He said, "You sure you've been bought with a price?" I said, "I sure have." He said, "Shout." And I shouted again. What I'm saying to you, his name is a praiseworthy name. It doesn't matter whether you're in Walmart, Waffle House, or wherever you're at, McDonald's, one of the five-star restaurants. Hey, the proof of purchase is shout. It's a praiseworthy name. He's the only one that's ever done anything for us that's worth shouting over.
Amen.
Everything else is no good, but he is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
When last time you let loose? It do you good sometimes to forget who you are and lift both hands and say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God to his name for what he's done in my heart. Changed my life. Made me somebody different in this world. Praise God, his name is worthy. Praiseworthy.
Right.
Well, hey, you been bought with a price?
Amen.
What's the proof of your purchase?
Yeah.
Prove it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? When I'm talking about praiseworthy, hey, that name is a praiseworthy name. When I talk about the sweetness of his name, there's none in the name under heaven given by where we must praise him and shout out what he's done for us. But not only there's a sweetness of his name, but there's a sweetness of his nature. Notice with me, he was sweet to the soldiers. With those he permitted to hang him on the cross, he was sweet to them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Isn't it wonderful how he is? He's sweet to the sinners. Hey, if you bow before him, I promise you, he'll answer you. I dare you to call on his name. I promise you, hey, he'll be sweet to you. He's sweet to the suffering. Years ago, I heard Dr. Ed McAbee from Columbia, South Carolina, at Faith Baptist camp meeting in Resaca, Georgia. Sammy Allen was alive then, moderator of the camp meeting. I heard Dr. Ed McAbee get up and say, "Y'all pray for my wife. She couldn't be here tonight. She has a mental problem. She's in the mental institution tonight, so y'all pray for her that she'll be all right." About 10 years later, I was back up there, and Dr. Ed McAbee got up and said the very same thing. He said, "Pray for my wife. She wished she could be here tonight, but she couldn't. She's at home having a mental problem. Y'all pray for her." And then he said, the other morning, we were sitting alongside the bed, and she said to me, "Ed, you reckon," that's a good word, reckon, that's a good southern word, "you reckon why the Lord has let me suffer such mental anguish?" And Ed, not knowing what to say, and would say what most of us would say, Ed said to her, "I don't know, honey, I really don't know why, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." She said, oh no, Brother Ed, no. When we get to heaven, it won't make any difference.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, don't tell me he's not sweet to the suffering. I'm glad he has taken and given to you and me who are suffering sometime in physical, mental, or whatever it might be, that given us the good grace of God, that it won't matter when we get on the other side.
That's right. Amen.
I was preaching up in the state of Virginia some years ago. Little invalid girl laying in the bed. Couldn't walk, couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere without somebody helping her go. In fact, one of them couldn't go to church. The mama would stay home maybe on Sunday morning. The dad would go to church Sunday morning. She would go Sunday night and he would stay at home. They could not leave her alone. But God intervened and gave her the sweet grace and peace of God. She wanted to die. She said, I'm not worth living. I want God to take my life. I'm a trouble to my parents. They can't go together anywhere. One of them has to stay with me. I wish God would take my life. But God, through his marvelous grace, gave her an intervention and showed her the sweet grace of God. And she was suffering throughout her whole life, but God gave her peace. I'm glad God's able to do that, aren't you?
Amen.
Doesn't matter what you and I might be going through, God's still able to do it. So I'm talking about the sweetness of his nature. I'm glad he's sweet to us, aren't you? He said, "All thy garments smell of aloes. Number two, I'm glad when we talk about aloes, that speaks of his sufferings, not our suffering. All thy garment smell of aloes speaks of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered at the cradle. Amen. He suffered at Gethsemane. And he suffered on the cross. When I think about the agony of going to the cross, when I think about going to Gethsemane, when I think about what he's done for you and me, we'll rejoice over the fact that he paid the debt. He paid our debt for us. He died on the cross for you and for me. He made it possible that you and I can make his name praiseworthy down here because of what he has done. Everything we have is majored on him. You're not anything without him. I'm not anything without him. We're nothing without him, but with him, we're everything. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Oh, what going to the cross, how he suffered. He said, if this could pass from me. He wasn't trying to get out of going to the cross. He knew he had to go to the cross for the salvation of mankind, for the redemption of the whole world. Notice something else. He said, all the garment smell of aloe speaks of the sufferings. Nobody's ever suffered like him. Can you imagine? I've said this here many times, talking about the sweat drops of blood. Can you imagine having so much pain and yet him being God in the flesh? He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He did not become sin. He was made to be sin for us. There was a difference in becoming a sin, becoming in sin, or made to be sin. When he died on that cross, hey, he done it just for us. When I thought about him in such pain that he sweated drops of blood, can you imagine what pain it takes to suffer? And the sweat drops of blood. I've never seen anybody sweat drops of blood. I don't imagine you've ever seen anything. You can ask the medical doctors and they'll tell you they've never seen anybody sweat drops of blood. But it's true there was one who sweated drops of blood, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on his way to Calvary. Can you imagine the agony of the cross? All that garment smell of aloe. Remember when he was going down in Psalm 45 when he talked about the garment smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia? That was a barrel of fragrance. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. Not for his sin, but for our sins. He's getting ready to pay sin's debt. And then notice the third thing this morning. It said, all thy garments smell of cassia. Cassia speaks about what I've been preaching about all morning. Speaks about salvation. All thy garments smell of cassia. Turn to Numbers chapter 21, if you would. When I talk about garments and cassia speaks of salvation, look in verse 4 of Numbers chapter 21. Notice what it says. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to encompass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Sounds like today, doesn't it? You ever seen such discouragement today? You ever seen the church in such a shape she's in today? When the devil used that pandemic of the coronavirus to shut down the church. You ever seen the discouragement as today? Some people who quit coming to church has never returned to church because of what's going on, the discouraged. Look in verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died, of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and when it come to pass, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. Isn't that amazing? God made a way even in that day. That case here speaks of salvation. God said, "Make a fiery serpent and put it up on a pole." Look in John chapter 3 and verse 14 with me. Notice what he says. "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now God said when Moses lifted up that serpent of brass, that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, being lifted up on the Calvary's cross, so you and I could be saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad this morning, praise God, that he's made a way?
Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad, thank God, that he's made a path for you and me who are lost and undone, had no hope in this world, that he made a way when he went to Calvary so you and I could taste of him and see that he's good.
Amen.
Some says, "Well, I've gone too far." May I say to you, that's not a distance you've traveled. As long as you've got breath in your lungs, there's still a way.
Amen.
There's still hope. You said, "I've committed too big of a sin. God cannot forgive you." Oh, I promise you this morning that if you'll come and just bow before him, I promise you he'll do something for you that nobody else has ever done.
Amen.
He'll take that criminal attitude out of you and put that sweet peace of God in you. He'll take that hardness out of you and put softness in you. Who'd ever think somebody like Brother Gerald Taylor would get saved? Brother Ned, who would ever think I'd get saved? Or who'd ever think that somebody would up in the Yankee land of New Jersey would get saved? I'm glad God still saves old sinners. Far and wide, it doesn't matter. I'm glad, thank God, God's still on the throne, aren't you? He came all the way out of the portals of glory, down through the ivory palaces, to do a work in our hearts that we might trust him and live for him. You say, "But I'm doing as well as anybody else." Well, you know where everybody else is going without Christ? I'd rather run with the crowd that knows him. Amen. I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm glad I'm in the drawer.
Amen.
Aren't you glad this morning that God still saves whole reprobate sinners? I'm glad I'm in. "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloe and cassia out of the ivory palace." Why did he come all the way out of the ivory palaces to planet Earth? He didn't come just to be coming. He came so sinners could be saved by the grace of God. And you and I who are saved by the grace of God, that we can be encouraged to live for him every day. Let's stand, please, with our head bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many today would say, "Preacher Pollard, thank God I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and I know that." Would you hold up your hand high? Would you just lift that hand and say, I know I'm saved. Thank you. You can put them down. How many of you who are so thankful today that he came all the way out of the ivory palace just to do a redeeming work in your life and change you? You never thought you'd be what you are today because of him. Well, I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to have an altar filled with people of God who are rejoicing in the fact that he came all the way out of the ivory palace just to wash your sins away. If you'd have been the only person on planet Earth lost and undone, he'd have done that redeeming work just for you. Our Father, I pray you'll take the message today and speak to every heart. May we be a rejoicing people and a thankful people. May we come and bow before him and thank him for what he's done. And all you do today, we'll thank you and praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.